Hi, this is Casey Luskin with a special request. If you value academic freedom and the right of professors, scientists, and students to both follow the evidence where it leads and to talk about that evidence and what it means, then please go to academicfreedompetition.com. That's www.academicfreedompetition.com and make your voice heard. Right now at Ball State University, physics professor Eric Hedin is the subject of a witch hunt by atheists from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They want the university to reprimand and censor Professor Hedin for including pro-intelligent design books on the reading list for one of his courses. Show your support for free speech on evolution and intelligent design and sign the petition at academicfreedompetition.com. Again, that's www.academicfreedompetition.com. Thanks, and now back to ID the Future.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where a great issue of academic freedom involves the ability of a professor, non-tenured professor, to bring up questions about Darwinism in class. Does that represent an unacceptable and unconstitutional intrusion of religion into a state-sponsored classroom? That case has come up regarding a suit being filed or threatened by the Freedom From Religion Foundation that believes that physics professor Eric Hedin at Ball State University in Indiana has abused his students by bringing religious content into the classroom. This is our weekly science and culture update. And that update, of course, brought to you with scholars from the Discovery Institute. I am joined right here in studio, Discovery Institute, a local Seattle foundation and institution. I'm joined by Casey Luskin, who is an attorney, and he is an expert on science education policy and academic freedom issues. He's also been trained as an undergraduate in earth sciences. He got his degree in earth sciences from University of California, San Diego. He is also the author of a highly readable new textbook that is intended for high school students and general readers. It is called Discovering Intelligent Design, and we'll post that on our website. Casey, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Michael.
And we are also joined, I am proud to say, in the interests of robust free speech and your daily dose of debate, by Dan Barker. He has been on the show several times before. Dan Barker is a former evangelical pastor and preacher who is now the head of, co-founder of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Wisconsin-based. Dan, great to speak to you again.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Well, okay, Dan, let me let you start out because you are the ones who brought this complaint. Ball State University, Indiana, and Professor Eric Hedin is a physics professor. Is this a long-standing complaint about Professor Hedin, or is it a complaint about his specific class?
Well, it's a long-standing complaint going back from complaints from students who've taken his class, and it came
to
us.
Did the students come to you?
No. It came to our attention through Professor Jerry Coyne, who teaches biography in Chicago. It came to his attention. I guess he never told us how, but at least it came to our attention. And there are documents of students complaining, and neither Jerry nor we are complaining about the course itself. We think that, at least on paper, it looks like a pretty interesting boundaries of science course. It appears to us, based on information, that this particular professor, as applied, as actually teaching the class, has crossed the line and has turned it from teaching into preaching and proselytizing, abusing his authority as a public school professor, not to teach a balanced class, but to actually promote the thoroughly discredited notions of creationism and intelligent design within a science classroom context. We think the professor has every right of free speech in a true public forum, but that a public school science classroom is not.
Okay, what department was this, the boundaries of science class, what department was it offered under?
I think he's in astronomy and physics, and in fact, there's more than one class, and it has different names.
Casey Luskin, do you know what department was this class offered in?
Yeah, it's with the Department of Physics and Astronomy, but it's intended to be an interdisciplinary course. It was invited not just for physics majors, but for anybody, whether they were studying science or not. And you can see that in the comments about the course, that there were lots of diverse students who took the course.
Okay, so what you're objecting to, I'm not sure I get the distinction you're trying to make, Dan.
He is not teaching science. He's using his position to preach his private religious views in favor of creationism within a science class.
Okay.
Casey Luskin, is that true?
From what I have seen about this course and the comments from the students, that is not at all true. As a matter of fact, Mr. Barker's letter to Ball State, where he said he didn't take issue with the course, but he actually says that the course is inculcation cloaked in the guise of university education. This letter that Mr. Barker wrote ignores the many positive comments from students about the course, and it also ignores the very well-balanced bibliography that Professor Dean uses in the course, including people like Oxford University mathematician John Lennox, or Oxford physicist Roger Penrose, or John Polkinghorne, or Francis Collins and Carl Giberson, or Lee Spedner and Gerard Schroeder, who are both non-Christians, or Paul Davies, who's really probably considered a pantheist. So the syllabus is very well balanced. It has Christians, it has non-Christians, it has atheists, it has proponents of intelligent design, it has opponents of intelligent design like Francis Collins and Carl Giberson. And I think it's safe to say that the students who took this course got a very wide range of viewpoints that they were exposed to.
Dan Barker.
Yeah, well, if that's true, that's one thing. We think it is possible for a course like that to be taught, but we think that in this particular case, Professor Hedin himself is abusing his authority and slanting the class toward his personal private views in, I might add, the scientifically discredited areas of creationism and intelligent design.
Okay, hold on.
Pushing them into the classroom.
Before we get into that.
He should not be using the classroom to preach.
Dan,
he should be using it to teach. I wasn't at the period of my sentence yet, Michael, but now I am.
Okay. What I wanted to get to before we get into questions of creationism versus intelligent design is, you seem to be objecting to the idea that a professor would slant a class to reflect his personal opinions. If, say, in a class about, the Russian Revolution, I once studied years ago some history from people who were avowed Marxists, and I can assure you they introduced their personal opinions into those classes. Do you believe that's an abuse of academic freedom for a Marxist to introduce his or her ideas into a class?
Well, there's a difference between free speech and academic freedom. Academic freedom is not the same thing as
I understand. Can you answer my question? If a particular, let's say it's a Republican. Let's say that somebody, Harvey Mansfield, who's a great professor at Harvard, longtime conservative. Harvey Mansfield, I can assure you, lets students know about his personal opinions in his class and probably does slant the instruction in his class, just like all of the 99.9% left-wingers on the Harvard faculty do. Is there something wrong with that?
Well, yes and no. If the professor is careful to say, I have an opinion about this, in addition to what I am teaching, the established science that I am teaching to you, and the students know this is the professor's opinion, but it appears from our understanding that the professor is using this class, which is supposed to be balanced and objective, regardless of his personal opinions, to actually teach creationism and intelligent design as if they are the science of the day. That's our. In that case, he has crossed the line. He can say what he believes, but to teach non-science as science crosses the line in a public university.
Casey Luskin.
Well, essentially what Mr. Barker is saying is that you only have academic freedom to attack intelligent design, and you never have academic freedom to share a view that supports intelligent design. Of course, faculty members have the rights in their classes to talk about their personal views. I mean, for goodness sakes, even P.Z. Myers, the stridently anti-ID atheist professor, said that academic freedom is the issue here, and he said on his blog that, quote, professors have to have the right to teach unpopular, controversial issues even from an ignorant perspective, in P.Z. Myers' view. So apparently, Dan Barker disagrees with professors like P.Z. Myers.
Where is P.Z. Myers
a professor? He's at the University of Minnesota, and he says, look, even if these are unpopular views, and maybe Mr. Barker happens to disagree with these views, professors have the right to talk about them, and it seems like what Mr. Barker wants to do is to censor the ability of scientists to talk favorably about ID in the classroom.
Let me give you another hypothetical, Dan Barker, because I'm trying to probe your thinking about the limits on academic freedom, which to me is the fascinating issue here. I took religious studies classes as an undergraduate as well, and most of the religious studies were taught by very non-religious people who had the point of view that religion was basically a bunch of nonsense, which I think is your point of view. Should they be allowed to communicate that to students?
Well, if their core of their class is objectively presenting all sides...
No, it's not objective. I promise you it's not objective. It's never objective. Objectivity is a chimera. It doesn't even exist in academia. And the notion that there is some legal obligation... Can you imagine the lawsuits... If you believe that every college professor is committed to be objective, we're speaking with Dan Barker from the Freedom From Religion Foundation and Casey Luskin of Discovery Institute. We'll be right back with this fascinating case of the physics professor who challenges Darwin. Coming up.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
Minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, where it's easy to save 15% or even more on car insurance with Geico. Just go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. This hour, science and culture update with the Discovery Institute. And you can find out all about their work and about the subject that we're debating about right here by going to our website, to michaelmedved.com, and clicking on the banner for science and culture. It will bring you up to date with everything the Discovery Institute is doing. And they are circulating a petition in behalf of academic freedom on behalf of Professor Eric Hedin at Ball State, who is under very significant attack from the Freedom From Religion Foundation. A lengthy letter written to protest Dr. Hedin's class. He is a physics professor. He has his PhD in physics and master's degrees in physics from the University of Washington right here in Seattle. And Dr. Hedin's class was in On the Boundaries of Science. And by the way, very well and warmly reviewed class, at least according to the student responses and students who did respond. We're talking about this with Casey Luskin. Casey is research coordinator for Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture, and with Dan Barker. Dan, who became a teenage evangelist at age 15, is now the Dan. Your title is co-president.
Co-president. I'm not one of the founders.
Excuse me. Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry to give you more credit than you claim. Dan is the co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Casey Luskin, let me put to you the question that I had put on the table right before the break, which has to do with the limits of academic freedom. You're active in the Discovery Institute. You are personally a believer. Would you have a problem if at a publicly funded university like Ball State University or where you attended, University of California, San Diego, if you enrolled in a class that was purportedly a religious studies class and the professor was openly hostile to religion and continually injected his own atheist beliefs into the classroom, should that professor be prevented from injecting his personal perspective?
No, I would not be offended. In fact, I took religious studies course when I was getting my undergraduate degree at UC San Diego by non-Christian professors who would sometimes critique Christianity or my own personal religious views. And I enjoyed these classes thoroughly. But before I go any further, I'd like to go back to that petition that you mentioned, Michael, where people can sign up to support Dr. Hedin. And, you know, these are very interesting intellectual debates that we're having, but these have real world implications. Mr. Barker on the other end of the line here is actually trying to harm Dr. Hedin's job and potentially his career. And if folks feel differently and they'd like to support Dr. Hedin, they can go to the website academicfreedompetition.com. That's www.academicfreedompetition.com. Sign a petition.
It's also linked right at our website.
Great. Thank you so much. So, but yeah, to answer your question, I think that there's no problem with the professor discussing their own personal views. If they happen to be pro-religion, anti-religion, whatever, they have the academic freedom to do that. And I had experiences like this. I had faculty members when I was a student who would attack intelligent design. And I sat there, I took the courses, and I learned quite a bit from those courses.
Dan Barker.
Well, I agree. I think professors can and do speak their own personal opinions, and students are smart enough to know that. But I think we all agree that there are some professors who cross the line, and Professor Hedin is hurting his own career by crossing the line.
Where did he cross the line?
By taking a course, a science class course, and teaching and promoting intelligent design and creationism as if it were science. It is not science. It is bad science. It is discredited science. And you can talk about those issues in a philosophy class, let's say. You can talk about them in a comparative religion class, let's say. But in a science class, giving academic credit for science, this professor, to our knowledge, appears to have crossed the line and is using the class not just to talk about the issue or even to give his opinion, but to teach intelligent design and creationism as if it's a good science when it is not. We think that crosses the line.
First of all, Casey Luskin, is Dan Barker giving an accurate summary of the facts regarding Professor Hedin? And secondly, do you agree with his point that if he were passing off intelligent design as the ultimate science on this subject, that he had crossed a line?
I think Mr. Barker is making unbacked speculation, and he has no personal knowledge of what actually went on in the class. If we look at some of the student comments about Professor Hedin's class on ratemyprofessor.com, we see comments like, he was a very fair grader, or super fair with grading, my favorite teacher at BSU, if you take astronomy, definitely take it with him, he cares about his students, he needs to get tenure at Ball State. Even one of the students that Mr. Barker's letter quoted as allegedly saying he was concerned that his teacher was a devout Christian, Mr. Barker's letter ignored the fact that this student went on to say, great teacher, nice guy, if you have astronomy at Ball State, get Dr. Hedin. He's willing to help with just about everything in class. Mr. Barker's letter at the very end suggests that an atheist student taking the class might be graded down, but I can't tell you, there are numerous students on ratemyprofessor.com who said he was a very fair grader. There's no evidence that he was being unfair to students or that he was simply proselytizing. And so this is unbacked speculation. Now, as to your question about intelligent design, I would have no problem if a professor, a scientist in a university, state university, were to teach a course attacking intelligent design. I think they should have full academic freedom to express those views. But doesn't academic freedom also extend to unpopular views, maybe views that support intelligent design? And let me tell you, there are highly credible scientists who support intelligent design. This sort of faux refutation of ID that Mr. Barker is talking about, that it's been discredited. Well, discredited is in the eyes of the beholder. There are many highly credible scientists who think that ID holds merit, and I think they should have academic freedom to talk about their views too.
Dan Barker.
I'm sure the professor is a nice man, and I'm sure his astronomy classes, for which he's highly related, deserve the high praise he gets. But we're complaining about this particular class as taught by this particular professor. And if it's true that our information is wrong, fine, then there's no issue here. But it appears to us, and from Jerry Coyne, that this professor who has
deep
religious beliefs...
But Jerry Coyne wasn't on campus either. Jerry Coyne's at a different university. He's at the University of Minnesota.
Excuse me a second here. Jerry Coyne's at Chicago. And by the way, I know P.Z. Myers very well, and P.Z. Myers is wrong. He wrote his blog based on... without having even read our letter. So he's probably going to have to back off on what he said. But, now where was I? This professor, I'm sure, is a nice guy. I'm sure people like him. I'm sure he's a good astronomy professor. But it is our understanding that this particular class, the boundaries of science, which means the gaps, is being used in an inappropriate way by this professor, not to present a balanced objective. And by the way, John Lennox himself is a mathematician. I've debated John Lennox at Oxford, and Lennox is a creationist himself. So It appears that there are some professors who are religious, who have religious ideas, and creationism and intelligent design are religious ideas, not scientific, that he is crossing the line in this particular class as applied. He's probably a great professor.
Okay, so wait. Why is it that at a class in boundaries of science, you believe it's illegitimate for someone to raise these issues? It's basically a point I still don't fully understand, Dan Barker. I know that you have to run. When we come back, we'll open it up to your calls with Casey Luskin of Discovery Institute. The question, should someone be allowed to teach a class about the boundaries of science?
Michael Medved.
Minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, and there is a great deal to debate concerning science and culture and their intersection, and the fascinating case of Professor Eric Hedin of Ball State University in Indiana. He is under fire from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and I've read the very detailed letter, and I will tell you, I'm now looking at the syllabus for Dr. Hedin's course, and I'm not sure that the folks who wrote the Freedom From Religion Foundation complaint actually ever looked at the syllabus. Speaking with Casey Luskin, who is a research director for the Center for Science and Culture of the Discovery Institute here in Seattle. Casey Luskin, I'm just looking at this syllabus. The course that has caused all this problem is a symposium in the physical sciences. It is Honors 296, Section 001, The Boundaries of Science, taught by Eric Hedin, PhD, Assistant Professor, Department of Physics and Astronomy. He has his PhD in physics. And the course description, it says, in this course, we will examine the nature of the physical and the living world with a goal of increasing our appreciation of the scope, wonder, and complexity of physical reality. We will also investigate physical reality and the boundaries of science for any hidden wisdom within this reality which may illuminate the central questions of the purpose of our existence and the meaning of life. Now, I don't understand what would be misleading about that for a class that actually looks at some of the gaps in the purely materialist explanation of things.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that Professor Hedin's course, if it was offered when I was a student, I would have loved to have taken a class like this. And, you know, as we mentioned earlier, his reading list included not just people who were religious, but also non-religious scientists like Roger Penrose, who's an atheist, or Paul Davies, who's sort of a pantheist, and also non-Christian authors as well. The reading list, the bibliography on this course is spectacular. So I cannot imagine why any student would not want to take a class like this. It seems like a wonderful course.
Has Ball State responded? I know that people were trying to get signatures on that petition. And by the way, I'm very proud to sign the petition, and I will do that as soon as the show is over. Have we gotten any response from Ball State yet?
I'm not sure if Ball State has issued an official statement. They did mention in a news article that they are investigating the situation. There was an allusion on the blog of Jerry Coyne, the University of Chicago evolutionary biologist, who's sort of a new atheist type. He said that he received a response from one of the administrators at the school that basically said, and he sort of just alluded to this, that they were supportive of Professor Hedin, and there was nothing new that had come out in this recent hubbub that they didn't already know about the course, and they thought it was a great course as well. So, you know, if people want to support the course, again, you can sign this petition at academicfreedompetition.com to support Professor Hedin.
Let's go to Bill in Newport Beach, California. Bill, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Casey Luskin of Discovery Institute.
So much, you guys. Casey, keep up the good work. I think it's really great what you're doing. I just had a seminar this weekend with Father Robert Spitzer. Do you know him?
Yes, indeed.
And,
I do.
Yeah, it was a great seminar, and we discussed that, his new book out, the new proof on the existence of God. I think the fear that's out there of academia, especially the liberal side, is they're very concerned that the credibility of this is starting to increase, and it's a threat to them. Many astrophysicists have come out. You know Dr. Hugh Ross as well, I presume?
Yes, he's been a guest on this show.
Right, fingerprint of God. I mean, so you have more and more scientists who are crossing over, so to speak, and it puts fear into all the...
Well, the ironic thing here is once upon a time, people would say, you can't fire me because I'm an atheist. Or you remember the Scopes trial, the idea that it was against the law in Tennessee to teach Darwinian evolution. We've now gone to the other extreme, that if you dare to teach anything from a religious or theistic point of view, you're in trouble. So what do we do about it? We'll get to that and more coming up.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com. Portions of the Michael Medved Show are brought to you in part by the Discovery Institute. To learn more, click on the Science and Culture banner at MichaelMedved.com.
It's 44 minutes past the hour. Let me make it very clear here. I'm here with Casey Luskin of Discovery Institute. He is the research director for the Center on Science and Culture. You can find out all about it at our website. I'm looking at a picture of Dr. Eric Hedin, who, to the very best of my knowledge, I've never met. And a younger guy, obviously, I was reading through some of the student reviews, which were universally just glowing of his class on the boundaries of science. And the one thing that troubles me, Casey Luskin, and you're an attorney, and this really is a civil rights issue, because it seems to me that what Dan Barker was saying when he was with us, and if anyone agrees with Dan Barker on this, please feel free to call us. I'd love to explore this with you. Is that it's okay to inject any kind of opinion in a university class attacking religion or supporting Marxism or running down America or praising America? Any opinion at all is okay in academia, except a religious opinion.
Yeah, I guess all opinions deserve academic freedom, but some opinions deserve more academic freedom than others is what it seems to be.
It's Animal Farm, yeah.
Yeah. What I think that Mr. Barker is really doing is he's taking the First Amendment's prohibition on religious establishment, which is a good thing, but he's twisting it into a tool for censorship to abridge free speech and take away the free speech rights of people who want to express viewpoints that he disagrees with. You know, in science moves forward through debate and disagreement. But when people are unwilling to tolerate those who they disagree with to express those views, it kind of makes you wonder how confident they are that they're actually right if they don't allow academic freedom for their opponents.
Let's go to Michael in Hawthorne, California. Michael, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Casey Luskin.
Hey, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a big fan. You're a swell guy.
Thank you.
You at the Iowa the other day.
Oh,
and,
yep.
Mr. Luskin, thank you for all the work you're doing at Discovery Institute. I'm going to make a question quick. It's twofold, actually. One, as a recent college graduate, I want to know what your suggestions are as I get in discussions or friends get in discussions with those who are very dismissive of IB. They don't really give you much time. They just think it's a fairy tale. As Mr. Barker was saying, it's non-science. They laugh it off. So what you would suggest to talk to somebody like that? And the second thing is, as someone who's younger, and our generation, how can we better get involved, maybe through Discovery Institute, in just this discussion as a whole and seeing the idea of intelligent design have more of a voice, more of an ability to at least bring its own evidence out?
Great questions, and thanks for coming out to support our radio station and Memorial Day yesterday at the USS Iowa, Michael. Thanks very much. Casey Luskin?
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Great question. I don't think I know you, and I promise that question wasn't a plant. I think the best thing that you could do, Michael, and folks in your generation, is to first get informed about the issue, get educated. And a great way to do that is to read this new ID textbook that we mentioned earlier in the show. It's called Discovering Intelligent Design. You can go to discoveringid.org
to get
a copy of it. Yeah, I'm a co-author. It just came out last week, so shameless plug. You could read Steve Meyer's new book, which is just coming out, called Darwin's Doubt. It's about the
case for intelligent design from the fossil record in the Cambrian explosion. You can go to darwinsdoubt.com for that.
By the way, one of the things that's stunning, I just got my new copy, and it's a beautiful package. The great thing about Darwin's Doubt is it has a bunch of endorsement quotes on the back from non-supporters of intelligent design and people with extraordinary academic credentials who are saying, wait a minute, I don't agree with Meyer about everything, but he's raising questions that need to be raised.
Yeah, it's really a myth and an urban legend that's put out by ID critics that there are no credible supporters of ID, and there are plenty of credible supporters. One last thing that you could do, Michael, is I think if you want to get involved with groups like Discovery Institute, sign the petition we mentioned earlier to support Professor Hedin's class at academicfreedompetition.com. You can have the opportunity there to get on our email list, and you can stay up to date by reading evolutionnews.org, our news website, or listening to our podcast, ID the Future. There are lots of great ways to stay informed about the issue. And I certainly sympathize. A lot of people out there try to just dismiss the evidence for ID by saying, oh, this is a fairy tale, this is creationism. But if you get informed, you read up on the issue, you'll be able to answer your friends.
Okay. And one of the things, and this I think is always, if Michael in Hawthorne, California was asking this great question, is when you're having conversations with people, how do you even get into this? The one way that I've found most effective, and it is one that I've never heard a good answer to, which is, okay, you believe that natural selection, totally random, fine. The question is, how did we get from rock, from mineral life, to even the first living thing? Given the fact that we have no evidence of living things anywhere except right here on this little planet, how did that happen? And that, it seems to me, is a kind of question that at least can get people thinking. Let's go to Earl in Philadelphia. Earl, you're on the Michael Medved Show with Casey Luskin.
And Michael, remember me from...
yeah, you called this show 9 years ago, right? That was a great call. Earl, you were terrific. Go ahead.
The point I want to make is it always bothers me when so-called scientists get upset whenever science is questioned. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in biology, and I remember when I was an undergraduate, we received a new textbook, edited, peer-reviewed, hot off the presses, and the first thing our professor said is, read the book, but ignore Chapter 15, because everything in Chapter 15 has just been proven wrong. That is the basis of science. The basis of science is we don't have the answers, and we are to question what we don't understand, and that's how you learn. You question, you discuss.
Casey Luskin.
That's absolutely right. The history of science is one of when people are allowed to ask hard questions and overturn what was previously considered to be the consensus or the widely held wisdom. That is when science moves forward. You need to understand that every single minority view in science, every single consensus view, I'm sorry, today in science started off as a minority view. So if minority viewpoints in science don't have academic freedom to be explored, be expressed, then they can never move forward and turn out to actually be the right answer. So today, science is actually in a very dangerous place when people like Dan Barker are trying to censor dissenting scientists from expressing their views.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to basic Justice Brandeis, who talks about the only solution for bad speech is good speech. You need more speech, not less speech. Why the desperate desire to cut people off at the knees and shut them up? What are they afraid of? If, by the way, you want to answer that question, give us a call.
Portions of the Michael Medved Show are sponsored in part by the...
Minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, where there are 3 days left for you to take advantage of our May Memorial Day based sale on any of our history programs, any or all of our history programs. There's a special package deal if you want to buy everything from medvedhistorystore.com. Go there and take advantage of 20% off anything or everything. And meanwhile, while you're on the internet, don't forget to go to our website, to michaelmedved.com. You can click directly on signing this petition to support Professor Eric Hedin, who is being extraordinarily unfairly, it seems to me, attacked by fanatics, basically, for a fine class that he was teaching at Ball State on the boundaries of science. Let's go quickly to Patrick in Grosse Pointe, Michigan. Patrick, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Great show. I loved it. the one thing that really bothered me, I know he's gone, about Dr. Barker was, is that he kept, every time he mentioned ID or intelligent design, he mentioned in the same sentence with creationism. Those are two different things.
Absolutely. And it's so important that you bring it. It's so important that you bring that up, because he does it regularly. For instance, calling John Lennox of Oxford University a creationist. It's not true, is it, Casey Luskin?
Yeah, I mean, the word creationist is sort of used by critics of intelligent design as an epithet, you know, trying to just dismiss it without actually addressing the arguments. But ID is different from creationism. ID starts with the scientific data and ends with scientific conclusions, whereas creationism usually starts with some interpretation of the Bible and ends with religious conclusions, like saying, you know, that the book of Genesis is correct or something like that. ID is very different. It starts with the data. It does not try to get into questions about whether the Genesis is correct or even who the designer is. And that's why you have non-religious and non-creationist proponents of intelligent design, like Thomas Nagel or David Berlinski. Even one of the early proponents of intelligent design, Alfred Russel Wallace, was no creationist. The co-discoverer of natural selection with Charles Darwin in the 1800s, Alfred Russel Wallace, was not a creationist, and he was one of the first proponents of intelligent design. So this is just a way that a tactic people use to dismiss the argument for ID without actually addressing it.
You don't believe that the Earth was created. You studied Earth sciences at University of California, San Diego. You don't believe that the Earth was created in six actual 24-hour days?
No, I have no problem with the idea that the Earth is, you know, billions of years old. And I personally, as a Christian, I don't see any conflict with my faith in that belief.
Let's go very quickly to Peter in Houston. You're on the Michael Medved Show. Hello, Peter.
I'd just like to say I really appreciate watching your or listening to your show. I mean, I may not always agree with you. I mean, I'm not necessarily a conservative or a Christian, but I really have found you to be incredibly thoughtful, and I really enjoy listening in.
Thank you.
What I would say is that I guess my comment is kind of more directed at things that I see very frequently as an atheist. A mistake I see made by atheists and Christians alike is that I see a lot of people who assume naturally that the theory of evolution, if true, has implications that are philosophical. It's almost a scientism idea, where basically there are a lot of inherent ideas where it's simply just that it inherently means that evolution is not guided by any sort of process. There is no teleology to it at all.
Okay, this is such an important point, and it needs further discussion. Thank you for it, Peter, in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2013. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.